I didn't really get into reading until I was, well, probably in my 30s. I started going out and buying books more, but it was just before that that someone said to me, buy good books, even if you're not going to read them now, because someday you'll have the time to do so.
You're listening to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with your host, Mark Jackson. You will get straightforward advice for how to make a profit on every new transaction that you do, compounding your net worth and growing your wealth substantially all through real estate. Get more information at appraisersecrets.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Tim Winters. Welcome to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast, powered by Investor Comps. What an exciting time we have. I am somewhere in southern Utah. And Mark, what part of the world are you in?
I'm right at home in Denver today.
Yes. We were talking earlier about some exciting things. We are definitely men on the road and on the move. So exciting. Well, we actually have kind of a three-legged stool today that we're going to tie together. We've got three topics that we're going to address. And so I'm excited for everyone to kind of hear this. And I just want people to stick around to the end, because we've got some special things to mention. But the first thing that we want to do, and this is something that's near and dear to both Mark and I's hearts, and that is to just share other people's successes. So yes. How important is that, Mark? Just talk about that in general, and let's go into more detail.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that really, and I love that we're talking about this right now, because a lot of things that we do at Investor Comps, and certainly as we share and care through this vehicle of Appraiser Secrets, kind of gets focused on, you know, the top of the organization. But overwhelmingly, I mean, in the 13 years that we've had Investor Comps and been putting out valuation data and information and training to investors, both domestically and nationally, there's been some really great success stories. And I want to share one that we just recently had, and that's with Mr. Ollie Thomas of Gary, Indiana. Just kind of like Northwest Indiana, just outside Chicago. Ollie is an individual that kind of joined on in the Investor Comps world early in 2018, decided he wanted to lock arms and really move forward. He's come along, been part of our mastermind cruise that we do once a year, has come to a couple of our investor summit events. And as a result of taking and discovering how to utilize a valuation-first approach to real estate, Ollie has gone from zero deals to 15 in less than 12 months, which is just something to be applauded, pat him on the back, and more, I guess, if anything, the fact that he took action. He was willing to be coachable. He was willing to listen and be guided. And in some cases, he was even willing to hear some no's. It's like, Angie, I got a deal, and let's look at it. Here's the valuation. I got it in the contract. And basically, I just told him, Ollie, that's not a deal. And he was willing to take it on the chin, understand why, and then go apply that to the next 2, 3, 4, 9, 10. Now he's up to 15 transactions. So couldn't be more excited to celebrate Ollie Thomas. He's on Facebook. For those of you who are listening, give him a shout out. Congratulate him. Ask him some questions. You know, what is it that has helped him be successful utilizing Investor Comps to do his real estate and do it very, very well? So just want to recognize Ollie and what he's been able to do to add long-term revenue to his business, short-term revenues in business, and building a wealth portfolio that will provide passive income for years and years and years to come.
You know, I remember the first event that Ollie came to, and I sat down and was able to chat with him, and what a bright guy, what a great guy. So I'm super excited for his success. But if you could, you mentioned a few things, but yes. I want some tangible takeaways for the people listening in. What's one or two things that you have observed that Ollie has done? You mentioned taking action, and we know he's things like that, but I mean, just, I don't know, anything else that people can say? Yeah, people, because listen, I know what people are doing. You said take action. They're going, yeah. I'm taking action. So why am I not as successful? Or let's go ahead and pull out the 2x4, Mark. and let's smack some people over the head to get their attention. Okay.
The dynamic that we talk about specifically is this, Tim, and this is what really makes this is what turns the corner for everyone I've ever worked with, is that whether they're looking at HUD deals, which we teach how to do those, whether they're looking at REO properties, bank-owned properties, whether they're engaging with pre-foreclosures or subject to properties, what we always inevitably wind up doing is going back and saying, you know, what does the investor comps property report say about the value? And sometimes you hear nothing. It's like, you know, what is bat squeaking in the background, that type of thing, because while they're excited about doing a deal and they've understand how to get a lead and bring a deal in, or maybe even have an agent and make an offer, they didn't take the time, as they were taught right away, to actually dig into the value, to know, hey, I'm buying right, that there's profit in this deal. If I decide to wholesale it, if I decide to just do a little bit of work and renovate it and hold on to it for long-term hold, passive income, or if I do a little bit nicer renovation and turn around and flip it. And so we get, just like Ollie, going back and digging into the valuation data. Who are the buyers and sellers in the market area, and what did those transactions sell for? Not just the ones where it was an arm's length transaction between two people, full market sale, but what were the more distressed transactions that are going to determine where we want you to buy at? So first things first is that everybody typically has to step back and really start looking at their investor comps reports, looking at that data to determine what is the best acquisition value for the deal they're getting ready to acquire. The next thing that comes into play are just the dynamics, the details. You know, who's the agent that you're working with? Do they have your best interest? What title company are you working with? Are they going to make sure they pull title and know that we've covered all the disclosures, there's nothing hanging out after we take on that deal? And can they close in a timely fashion and work with us to make sure we bring that deal on the right way? So those are some of the things that come after knowing that we've got a deal that's got significant profit in it, regardless of the exit strategy. And then some of the fine-tuned things, because some of the costs that normally that the seller should be paying, or that could be managed a little bit better because the title company is trying to charge extra fees for something that you don't need, survey, whatever the case may be, you can keep more money on the bottom line. So these are the things that we get into that Ollie has learned, as well as any other number of other hosts of students that have really helped them be successful as they take action to do deals and do them very, very effectively.
Yeah, and I guess one thing that kind of jumped out at me is that if he's not taking action, that second thing is not going to occur. You're not going to learn all that. You're not going to be able to gauge all that, right? It's like, I don't think as awesome as all the data is that we're able to provide, if someone looks at it, but yet they're not out and about, you know, not out in the hunt, sometimes we call it, it might not mean anything to them, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, I think the beautiful thing about the folks that we work with in investor comps is that overwhelmingly they're able to get the experience that they otherwise would not get on a transaction. So many people believe real estate works. They just don't believe it works for them. But at investor comps and how we take these appraiser secrets, these ideas about valuation applying to a transaction, more and more and more is the case that you actually take away experience that you can use for a lifetime and duplicate over and over again, because you do have the opportunity to go through a complete transaction once you know that you're buying right. There's really nothing that precludes you or stops you or pulls you back once you've got that valuation piece down pat.
Yeah, and I like the cool thing that I love about that is that based on the experience I've got and people I've been around, is that sometimes what we're doing is we're looking for a reason or excuse or whatever we want to call it, not to take action. And the data and the things that you're talking about, and even some of the teaching and training we're about to talk about here shortly, it takes a lot of those excuses away, which kind of greases the skids. It removes the barriers so that action can be taken. Well, yeah. I think there's no doubt that you and I are so excited for Ollie's success. So excited for all that's going on. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I know that it was a blessing for the listeners, for the podcast, and those that are watching in, just to hear that people are succeeding and all. So, all right, we're going to shift gears just a little bit here. And all this is really going to tie together because you and I have been around each other for 20-plus years. And one of the things since day one, we were reading books and bouncing around with books and talking about being teachable and things like that. And so we've been in this mode for a long time, and sometimes it's kind of new to people. But you are sharing right as we were getting started about a few books that you've recently read that got a big impact. You believe that they have information for everyone. So I'm actually going to kind of insert here some book reviews, book discussion with you sharing some of the nuggets. So why don't we do it this way? Why don't you mention the two books and maybe the authors, if you can hold it up or something like that. And then we'll back up, and then you could dive into detail on the first one, the second one. Is that okay?
That works just fine, because I, as you know, Tim, I mean, there's books that other people recommend to us in some of the mastermind groups that we attend, whether it's just a book club that we're in or whether we're involved in our local RIAs, real estate investment associations. There's always going to be somebody sharing something in a good environment that's going to help you grow. And in other times, you're specifically reading strategically for where you perceive you are and what your needs are in order to go forward. And I genuinely believe that the two books I'm about to share are very, very appropriate, not just for me or for yourself, but for anyone that has gotten to a certain point and now they're ready to take another leap forward. So the first one I want to share, a very excellent author, Marshall Goldsmith, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And the other book that kind of complements this, I'm actually reading too, Big Shift Ahead, in this case, The Age Curve. And this is by Gorbach. And the idea here are about different dynamics as it relates to population changes. The subtitle on The Age Curve is How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. So as we look at not just the economic factors that impact market areas, and when we're talking about these appraiser secrets, how we're taking the experience of a real estate investing appraiser and applying that to markets ahead of their coming changes economically, the demographics, the population shifts that also move markets in a different way coming forward in the next 10, 15, 20 years are important data to cover as well. And I'll kind of hold off right there.
So good. So we've got a couple of good recommendations there. So, all right, listen, we want everyone to read these books. That's what we want, because when you read, things happen. You know, if you just sit and watch videos and things like that, that's great. That's educational, and listening is educational also. But something about reading just gets something going in the brain. It's cognitive. There's good things there. However, let's just assume for a moment that someone says, "Mark, I ain't gonna read that book. Give me some of the details of it."
Okay.
I'm having a little bit of fun with it, but I want to, you know me, I want to kind of get inside people's heads here.
That's about as candid as you put it. And there's been times where even you and I have been there as well.
I read book summaries. I just got my notice from my book summary thing that I've gone through 171 book summaries in the last like 150 days. So summaries are good. They're not as good as a deep dive. So go deeper.
That challenge. And I'm just going to hit a couple of things that I've already highlighted as it relates to this book, because that highlighting in the text actually makes it more tangible, adds some emotion to it. And then actually, in my opinion, gives us something that we can always flip back to when we need to revisit some material. Just a comment. I didn't really get into reading until I was probably in my 30s. I started going out and buying books more, but it was just before that someone said to me, buy good books, even if you're not going to read them now, because someday you'll have the time to do so. Mm-hmm. And so start building a library. at that point, some of it was novel, some of it was information, some of it was self-help, but just started buying, you know, the $5 discount book when you walked in to Barnes & Noble, whether it was a Tom Clancy or, you know, or John Gresham or Lawrence Walker, stuff like that. Started buying a bunch of novels and then started, you know, got to the point of reading for fun and then more reading for my own individual growth, development, and how I can care and share with others. And that was actually before my appraisal career. But one, I got a couple, three things highlighted here that I just want to touch base on here. And the thing that resonated me with this book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, is this idea of what's holding you back. And I'll just read just a little bit. I have highlighted. Your hard work is paying off. You're doing well in your field, but there's something standing between you and the next level of achievement. That something may just be one of your own annoying habits. And so I will admit that there's any number of dynamics that I have in my own walk of life that are daily routines in terms of how I wake in the morning, what realizations I have about what can be accomplished that day, the ideas of what I'm going to be intentional about, how I strengthen not only my mind and my body, and then how I go execute. But overwhelmingly, one is I like most entrepreneurs, AA types, whatever the case may be, I still think I can do stuff better than anybody else. And so there's always a need to overcome that willingness to do it myself as compared to delegating. And that's one of the things that is a habit that I struggle with and I fight with, but because I've allowed to open my hand and let things go, because other people can do any number of things, not only better than me, they can actually do it quicker, faster, more efficient, and in a creative way. So overwhelmingly, this idea of looking at one of my own, you know, perfectionist, annoying little habits, I can't
relate to you at all, man. I cannot relate. And I know that you and I are the only two guys that are listening in here that it even mattered. No, I mean, you're like, you're hitting on a lot of things. So this is awesome. All right, keep going. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah,
not a challenge. One of the other things that a little bit later on was, who can help is the question. Who can help? When, you know, this author, Marshall Goldsmith, has done a wealth of work, and literally I guess you could refer to him as an expert when it comes down to helping leaders overcome things and get out of their own way. That's going back to the title of the book. But one of the dynamics here that really makes a difference is that each of us, when we're growing our own small business, large, whatever the case may be, we need to have some coaching, a one-on-one that allows us to be challenged in terms of accountability, that challenge us in terms of our task completion, and, you know, are we going in the direction that we say that we want to go in? So here's that thing where, yes, I've had mentors and I've been in some groups, but overwhelmingly, there's the need to have that one-on-one coaching to guide you in moving the right direction. Now, my coaches have varied. Right now, it's all about developing business structures and processes. That's what my coach is working with me in my business right now. I've had other times where I've needed a coach just for finance to help me understand deal structure even better on the financial side, not on the valuation side, but how to actually take one transaction and make it into two or three or four based on note concepts and wraps and things of that nature. So those are dynamics. But having that one-on-one coach that's actually going to take you from where you are to where you want to go is a really big nugget that took away from now. Let me get to the third one. And this one's kind of titled is, what is the solution? There's any number of different dynamics here in terms of what is the common problem faced by executives that need a coach. Within here, you'll discover some of the questions that you need to ask yourself to enhance your key beliefs as well as those of other success leaders, but also the behaviors that hold those individuals back. And so overwhelmingly, here, as we read, as I've tangibly been able to go through this, I've been able to see, hey, I'm not on this island by myself. There's folks that have been where I'm at, okay, somewhat stuck, you know, and I don't mean stuck in terms of not having success. There's been any numbers of layers of success and accomplishment, but there's another place that I want to go to. And the thinking that got me where I'm at is not the thinking that's going to take me where I want to go. And therefore, I share this in a capacity for everyone. Whether you've been doing transactions for a few years and you've gotten some momentum, but you're looking to see how can I do things a little bit differently. This read may very well take you where you want to go, as well as, being engaged with Investor Comps as we look at some of our events that we hold twice a year, that Investor Summit. It's made a significant difference for Ali, as we talked about earlier in the meeting, as a number of other individuals. But overwhelmingly, just remember, what got you here won't get you there. And I'm thoroughly enjoying going through this content as well as sharing, because I can already feel, not see, but feel the changes that are coming because of the coaching, because of eliminating little habits that can be changed and tweaked and held accountable for, and also realizing that there's some things that we want to be thinking about differently from what we used to do to where we want to go. So yeah. I highly recommend what you got. What got you here?
I love just the title there. Not everybody's going to pick up that book because of the title. I mean, that just kind of lets you know you need to make some changes,
Right.
So, that one's really good as far as personal and things like that. Now this other one looks like it's a little more macro, a little more bigger picture and things like that. So hit on that. I'm kind of watching our time here, kind of keeping us moving along for a couple minutes or so. And then we want to move up to our wrap up topic.
Okay.
So give us some nuggets from this one.
The thing that really is unique at the time that we're engaging, there's this idea, one thing I really enjoy is how we refer to this millennial generation. It's really kind of ironic because Generation X almost literally got skipped over. There's the baby boomers, then there's X, and then here come the millennials. And it's to a great degree because they're in wage earning years now, having families, getting married, things of that nature. The real impact of their mindset, of the way that they drive economics, is really coming into its snowball effect. We haven't even seen all that's coming with it. And a lot of autonomous driving and things like that are part of that snowball that's coming, but overwhelmingly as it relates to real estate as well. So I encourage people, and even as I'm doing right now, to read books like The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm, because it is the demographics of people that drive the economics that exist certainly in this country and then globally as well. But overwhelmingly, we're seeing it now more in terms of thought process as a part of the demographics. There are some things that happen with baby boomers. Baby boomers wanted to be healthy, be fit, and live longer than the generation before them. They certainly achieved earning more, but there's a different dynamic in terms of what they consider to be quality of life. So they had the biggest impact on health and fitness as part of their movement. And it's paying off because life expectancies have gone up. As such, different financial dynamics have changed in terms of savings, self-directed IRAs, long-term income, because retirement has gone from it's almost tripled. It's gone from being 7 to 8 years after 62 to 65 to being 23 to 30 years after 62 to 65. So the generation that's come behind us, there's any number of dynamics. Let me just talk about a couple. First is, who are these people? Okay, that's one dynamic that you want to listen to. And silent virtues, a small group with its own impact. Those two chapters, as I read through them, really touched me because it let me see that as a parent, I have five millennials, okay, but there's 10 years in between them. So my millennial that's in the early 30s, as we're having this conversation now, is really uniquely different from my millennial that is only 23, and how they think and see the world, how it impacts how they treat money, how they see themselves in terms of where they want to live, the environment they want to live in, and at what time and point do they actually want to acquire a piece of real estate, and then how much they want to invest in it, what type of home they want to live in. is really a unique dynamic. And one of the key things here as it relates to these two groups is that idea of the size of home. My 30-something is in more of a traditional three-bedroom, two-bath, so forth. My 23-year-old is very much into what's the smallest possible space I need to house the few things I have and be able to lay my head, but still be in around the community, the people I want to be around so that I can enjoy live, work, play, so on and so forth, that type of thing. Very different dynamics. They exist in real time right now for both of them. And how we structure our deals, how we look at the market areas that we're investing in, really does have to take consideration both dynamics, because both of them are of the point where they're going to be investing in real estate that we can either have as long-term hold investments for those individuals or as short-term flips for individuals going to be buying a property long-term. So those dynamics are very, very different than how baby boomers or even Generation X, which had a very traditional buy a home, live in it, raise your family, be there for a number of years, and then transition out of that home either by sale or by keeping it maybe as a rental for long-term wealth building. But that took place over generations as compared to how these two different dynamics exist within just the one demographic of the millennials. The other thing is, who are these people? It's stunning the dynamics that go into the demographic that is the millennial. Some of the thought processes are the same, and that has to do with certainly in terms of immediate gratification. And we have to be willing to roll with this as we look at our real estate investing. These are individuals that want to have a property, have it very quickly, all literally to the point, and this is a really key indicator. Zillow has gone to the position now where they're actually flipping properties. Okay, what I mean by that is Zillow's been a platform for real estate agents, for also for lenders to put information out there. It's been a platform that is not that, that was thought to be free valuation, but it was really about lead generation. Agents be able to have people that are looking for houses contact them so they can actually show them around, drive around, and write the contract form. In addition to that, lead generation for lenders, Rocket Mortgage, Quicken Loan, whatever the case may be, all right? LendingTree. We want to be able to find someone that actually is going to come to Zillow. We're going to get their information. We're going to get in touch with them, sign them up, and we'll do the financing for the property they're going to buy. Well, Zillow's gone a whole nother direction in terms of being a one-point listing source. They're actually buying properties from the auction housing of that nature, listing them themselves, and then remarketing them right quick to buyers that just want a transaction right there on the internet right now. And again, you have to have your eyes wide open in terms of preparing to do this, because Zillow's that platform that we can go in, identify a property that we're going to contract, wholesale, evaluate it right, and then we can list that property right there on Zillow, and they'll help us with their engine, not only sell their units, but sell ours as well. And that's how this dynamic of knowing and understanding the demographics, the age group, this millennial generation is coming along to really enhance for our success, the real estate investing that we're doing. So I love the content that I'm getting from this and just the ability to share. So this couldn't have been a better platform in real time to go through those dynamics of, you know, just what success folks are having, what we want to do to move forward from where we are, and what are we going to experience in the marketplaces demographically as we go forward to be successful in our real estate transactions.
Excellent. I got a quick question, and we're pushing our time here, but this is going to, I'm going to see if it may be a little bit of a curveball for you.
Okay.
I like to see here. I observe, because I've got a 28, 25-year-old also, and, you know, I'm a guy that is now living full-time in an RV, just traveling, you know, about 350, 400 square foot of space. Do you, from what you're reading and what you're seeing, do you believe that there is a movement for smaller? You know, we know tiny houses are out there, and people are kind of in general accumulating less stuff, but do you see this generation that you and I, our generation, was you keep just buying bigger, bigger, bigger. You know, you move into the 1,000 square foot, then you go 1,500. Then if you're really doing well, you do 2,500. And then if you really do, you know, you go to 5,000, 6,000. And then by the time you're, you know, of a good, ripe, mature age, you're in a 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 square foot home full of stuff that now you and, you know, your spouse are living in or whatever. And it's like, now, what do we do with all the stuff? And, you know, I'm kind of a self-professed essentialist minimalist. Do you see trends in those areas?
I just, as great question. I just reviewed an article today, and this speaks to how the real estate markets and the residential market is changing. Because we've talked about in prior conversations about these mega areas that are, well, mega cities that are transitioning. So we have about 27 major cities throughout the United States that's going to grow to 37. One in particular is the Metro Tampa area. And I just read an article this morning about tiny homes coming to and being developed in the Tampa, Florida real estate market. And it's really unique that this is not the snowbirds. This is not the individuals that are formerly that bought in mobile home parks, stuff like that. This is your millennial generation that is basically looking for a residence that's not more than a couple hundred square feet. And even though they plan on having family. So it is about this, you know, what's the best space I need to live in that doesn't have to be a large home. So, you know, two bedrooms, a shared bath, all kind of stuff, really different dynamic in terms of what that article shared about the buyers in that specific market, which just happens to be one of those mega cities that's going to grow differently in some of the live, work, play, and definitely inside Hillsborough County, which is the core city where Tampa's located. It's not about sprawling and going bigger in the subdivision. It's about having smaller, more dynamic spaces right in town with access to lots of amenities, culture, dining, things of that nature.
That's good. So we're going to keep an eye on that. In fact, that could be a good topic for the future because I want people listening in to be able to take advantage of those type trends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there even are people that may even want to be in the development phase or other than just acquisition and flipping, because I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity there. Okay. We're pushing our time here, but I want to address a couple of things, and I'm going to mention them and have you chime in, and I'm watching our time here while we're doing this. One of the things that Investor Comps does is a few times a year, we kind of gather together. We come together and we have an event, and we kind of have themes for the two events during the year, but at the time of recording this, which is mid-February-ish, we've got an event coming up towards the tail end of April. I wanted you to talk briefly about that. Let's go over a few items. We don't have a lot of time, but let's let people know they're going to be listening to this, some of the opportunities there.
Yeah, it's really unique that because we hold these the end of April, end of October. The spring is a great time to really get your business going, take advantage of the momentum of the housing market in that springtime of year. And October is a great time because that's when we're looking to buy for the next spring, for the next year. So there's strategically time. What's really good at this upcoming event is we're actually going to be working and sitting down with folks so that when they leave, they've actually got a deal under contract. And the beautiful part about having Investor Comps at our disposal, we already know we've got folks coming in from South Florida. We have folks coming in from the Northwest, from the Northeast. We have people coming in from the West Coast. And overwhelmingly, regardless of what market area they're in, because we are using Investor Comps as our platform to value the properties, we can look at all of those market areas very, very seamlessly with no delay whatsoever. One of the unique parts about what we're doing at this event is I'm actually offering the opportunity for folks to look over my shoulder on the deal that I put in a contract at the event live in real time. And it goes back to that idea that, you know, you once you learn this information, you keep it for a lifetime. You just have to exercise it over and over and over again. So being able to follow along with me as we take someone in the room, help them identify a deal with me, and then they just look over my shoulder from start to finish is really going to be a fun part and very, very dynamic part of what we'll be doing when we come together in April.
Yeah, and I want to pause on that because I want to make sure everybody got a grasp of that. But we are going to have we're going to have our people put a link in the show notes and in the notes below the podcast so that people can link. And if you're listening to this before the end of April, definitely sign up and come. We're going to be in Atlanta, near the airport in Atlanta. So that's a good one. If you happen to be listening to this later in the year, we'll have one towards the tail end of October. So either way, just keep in close contact. But I want to make sure people grasp what you just said, because what we're going to do is we're going to give everyone the opportunity that comes, that registers and comes. They're going to have a chance to win that look-over-the-shoulder deal with Mark, with MJ. But it doesn't just stop with the education. There's some money available here. Tell them about that real quick before we get off the line, because people should be salivating over this.
Very, very true.
I'm excited.
Thank you for bringing it out, Tim. But for everyone that registers and attends, there'll actually be a drawing where you'll be part of that next transaction that I do. And by looking over my shoulder and being that winning soul, you will actually also not only learn everything that I do along the deal and follow and be able to duplicate that as well, you're going to earn 30% of the net profits on that transaction, just like one of my coaching students would do. All you have to do is be in the room to have the opportunity to get that benefit. So, you know, that's better than taking a survey at Taco Bell, man. I tell you what.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the things I want to circle back to the beginning here. We talked about Ollie at the beginning of this podcast and we're wrapping
Yes.
And one of the things, first of all, you can get around Ollie because I'm pretty confident he's going to be at our conferences. But
yes,
a year and a half, 2 years ago is when he started at one of these events, correct?
Yes, less than a year ago, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
less than a year ago at the time that we're having this conversation about 10 months ago. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's another principle. If we were talking about you know, taking action in a principle that Ollie had that has led his success, It was going from Gary, Indiana to, I think we were either in Tampa that time or somewhere in Atlanta. And he had to go somewhere to attend. And then he made the decision to get involved with the coaching and things. So anyway, Ollie, he's been sprinkled throughout this podcast. Maybe we should have just let him do it. Maybe we...
We'll have to get him on, but folks, definitely, we look forward to having you meet him when you come together with us for all those that plan on attending, taking advantage of the offer that we'll have at the Investor Summit in late April.
Absolutely. So anyway, Mark, I've really enjoyed this because I maybe it's my attention span or whatever, but I kind of like jumping around a little bit. You know, at times we do a deep dive into certain topics, but on this one, we covered a lot in a short period of time frame. So what I encourage people to do is, number one, listen to this again. But also, if you got some good info from it, give it a thumbs up. Give us a rating on whatever format you listen to your podcast on, and share it. Share it with others that you know that might have interest in this, and so that we can kind of get the word out and start getting some good podcast love going, you know, and kind of share it out, because we're early on in this. We're excited about it and we're having fun with it. Any last thoughts or words, Mark?
Now, I enjoy doing these, Tim. It is a wonderful way to care and share and really get focused on what it takes to move your business forward. Real estate works, and it works for everyone that's listening here. It's just a matter of taking a valuation first approach, being consistent, and just making sure that you don't put yourself in a situation where you can't identify that profit right when you're buying. That identifying that profit, making a profit when you buy, makes all the difference in the world for a very fruitful, successful, and long-lasting real estate investing career.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Mark, for taking the time. Thank you, everyone who's listened in and for sharing and rating us. And we'll look forward to seeing many of you probably in April or an upcoming event. But we'll definitely be able to let you listen in and interact with you on the next podcast. Thank you all.
All right. Take good care, everybody.
You've been listening to another episode of the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with Mark Jackson. The place to be to create your freedom lifestyle with more time off, security, and peace of mind. Find out more at appraisersecrets.com.